Mr. Ryan Rashog and Shogger. You know, interesting game, but it just felt like the Elks couldn't get over the top and get those multiple touchdown strikes they required.
Yeah, well, it was kind of like which offense was going to break through and grab this thing. You know, the defenses were doing a good job and keeping it pretty low scoring, and it was like which offense was going to figure it out. And then, you know, in the end, the Red Blacks' defense was just, I mean, they just had a couple of great performances. So, yeah, man, you know, Trevor Harris pushed hard at the end. They drove the ball all the way downfield and almost got there. But, you know, 12 points ain't going to win you a football game. And that offense, you know, that production from that offense isn't going to win you many football games. So I'm sure they were frustrated and couldn't punch it in when they needed it there. I mean, they looked good early and then faltered a little bit. And then just kind of wasn't much there through the mid part of the game offensively.
What was missing in your mind?
I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. You know, when Trevor Harris is on, you know, he's spreading it around a little bit. You know, they're finding ways to make big plays. You know, I mean, I thought they were, Wilder, I thought, was pretty effective, you know, when he got his touches and when he got his looks. So I thought that was decent. I don't know, man. They didn't really push the ball downfield a lot in the early going. You know, and I don't know, just maybe taking a couple of chances to try and loosen things up a little bit. Like, I don't know. It felt like they kind of got a little bit an offense that was supposed to be, you know, lots of aerial attack and lots of options. Just felt like they were kind of held to being just kind of average there through the second and third quarters, and they just kind of didn't really have the big plays to break it open and kind of get those drives going and stuff. So yeah, I don't know. It just wasn't as dynamic as I guess some were expecting, but maybe it's just week one. Struds, you there?
Sounds like we lost him, Ryan, so I'll keep going here with this.
We lost Struddy.
It sounds like lost him. I don't know. I mean, and he went so silent. Usually there's a click or something, but I think he just dropped off a little bit there.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure. Now, are you the guy that's supposed to scramble to get Struds back on the air? So now you have to simultaneously at the same time talk to me and scramble to get Struds back on air? Is this your challenge?
That is the challenge, but now he's letting me know that he is back. Struddy, we got you, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not sure what happened there. At some point, I'm not sure what happened, but did you answer my question, Shogger, about
what
was missing for the offense?
I answered it, and then I thought the two of us did a great job filling that blank time while we were wondering where you were.
Okay.
Like, I thought we were pretty solid there.
I'm not sure what happened. So, okay, let's shift over now to the Edmonton Oilers and talk about the Brendan Perlini signing. You know, what is your opinion of where he could fit in, or what the opportunity, or does any opportunity exist for him to push into some games this winter?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he's one of those guys that you kind of wait and see what he brings and you see how he looks. I think they're probably bringing him in with a pretty open mind, right? They're bringing him in with an open mind to try and push Dylan Holloway and to try and push, Devin Shore and to push Ryan McLeod. I mean, anytime you bring a guy in that's got first-round pedigree, and yes, it was a while ago, but he was drafted in the first round, and so there's some skill there, there's some ability there. Yeah, I just think he's one of those guys you put into camp to push your young guys and keep things competitive. And then also, just by nature of the contract, he's obviously willing to spend some time in the American Hockey League and be a call-up if need be and be somebody that can, you know, kind of – and push Tyler Benson as well, quite frankly. So I think he's a good ad. He's a good guy that's been around and wants to get back to North America and try and put a dent in getting back here and making some money. And so, yeah, I'm sure he'll be motivated. And he's just – I think it's just about creating competition, don't you?
Yeah, I think it is. I guess from the player's perspective, I look at it like when I was signing, I was always looking for opportunity. So where was the most opportunity? And like, is Perlini, is he that much different? Like, as far as in nature, is he that much different than Benson or different than Holloway or different than Shore or different than Marody? Or like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just looking at it thinking, if I'm stacking up my table of players, I have him. He's just like those guys. So there's really no difference, right? Like, it's not like you're coming to a team where maybe two or three years ago there was no left wingers, or even last year, you know, he could compete with those guys. But now, like, the top three to me are locked in. between Nuge and Hyman and Fogel.
Of course,
and
yes.
Now that you could say there's four people competing between Shore, Benson, Holloway, and now Perlini. So it's like he's fighting with three other guys for a spot. So I don't know where maybe it's the best money offer he got. I'm not sure. But I just don't, like, from the player's perspective, it really raised an eyebrow when I saw him signing, because I don't see a lot of opportunity in that left-wing position.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're him, you might look at it and say, okay, Dylan Holloway is likely to start in the American Hockey League because Ken Holland generally doesn't like to rush those young guys. So he's probably sitting there looking at it going, okay, I need to outplay Devon Shore to get some ice time. Kyle Turris is there, maybe more for that fourth-line center spot. Ryan McLeod is a raw rookie. Tyler Benson's a different kind of player, right? Perlini's 6'3", a couple hundred pounds. So I don't know. Could there have been other options, other places for him to go? I don't know what other offers would have been on the table. I mean, I can't really say, given I don't know the offers that were in front of him, but I think there's an open fourth-line left-wing spot on this team, and I think there's a number of players that are going to grind it out for it, and I think he puts himself in position to be one of them. But he's definitely not the favorite, is he? I would say not the favorite for that position heading in, but I don't know if he would have. Like, what training camp do you go to if you're him where you are the favorite to grab that spot?
No, well, and after the year he had last year in Switzerland, like, he didn't kill that league, right? Didn't break it
no.
in half. And I don't, listen, I don't know what happened there. It doesn't look like the team was great. So, like, I get all that stuff, but you just don't know. Ryan Rashog joins us, breaking down the Edmonton Oilers. You know, you and I have talked about it both privately on air about the fact of Dylan Holloway at some point can come in and push his way into the top nine of the Edmonton Oilers.
Or,
you know, it changes everything. And if you push in there, that means someone pushes out. You know, if you push in the top three left wing positions, let's just say he goes into third spot, that has to push, you know, Fogel up or Nuge to the center or Hyman to right wing. Like, if you're Dave Tippett, you are in contact with that young man, you know, making sure he's ready to go. And if he starts in the minors, that's not a fail. But if they can do that, it also maybe pushes, if, you know, by the time everyone moves around, Nuge to center or Hyman to the other side, it could push Yamamoto or Cassian into the fourth line. And now that fourth line becomes stronger. So, you know, not right away, but boy, he could be such a valuable piece for this team, couldn't he, Ryan Rashog?
Yeah, well, when you listen to Craig Button talk about him, and Craig has watched him play a ton, right? Was at the World Juniors. I was there as well. But he knows these guys inside out and backwards. He's been saying for quite a while that, like, he's ready. He's a man, and he's ready. And Button doesn't just say that about anybody. So when Button says, look, the guy is ready for the National Hockey League, it makes you wonder if he won't defy that conventional wisdom that Ken Holland tends to bring to his young, you know, top picks, which is you got to wait. Maybe he'll be able to defy that. Now, Holland was more open to it in his later years in Detroit. We saw some younger players catch on there young. And I think they'd be silly not to come to camp with an open mind on what he might be able to do and give him that opportunity. But, yeah, if Holloway can make the team out of camp, that means he's turned some heads and is probably, because they're going to be cautious with young guys. So if he makes the team, it's not going to be because they don't have other options. It's going to be because he outplays Shore and Perlini and all of these other guys and Tyler Benson, right? So yeah, it could really change the dynamic. Now, it's one thing to impress in camp and exhibition and make the team out of camp. You know, it's another thing 20 games into the season to be able to keep your pace up and keep your production up and, you know, being able to do it long term. So an early push from him doesn't mean that everything changes, right? You got to leave room for players that are learning like this to have good streaks and bad streaks and up and down. But it definitely changes the algebra if he consistently is putting great games together that is earning himself more ice time than you'd think a 19 or 20 year old should be getting.
Yeah, it's a huge step, and you know, I and not everything's the same. You can't copy every year, but I think back a couple of years ago when Yamamoto came out, got called up, and the change in the top six was huge for the Edmonton Oilers. And so I'm wondering if they don't say, okay, you know what, this guy is going to start in the minors unless he's just crazy good, because that guy coming up, it changes. It just brings juice to a lineup, right? And changes things, and makes things a little bit uncomfortable. And you're not, listen, Dylan Hyman signed for Hyman has signed for years, you know, so he's not worried about losing his job, but it just brings a juice to the lineup. And I recognize it's a different time and different player, but I just wonder if they don't play that and give everyone a chance to kind of earn, keep their spots. And if needed, he's a wild card that comes in over the top, off the top rope.
Yeah, I wonder too. I mean, what will the bar be for them to decide it's worth having him here, right? So if they feel like he's clearly their fourth best left winger, let's say, clearly their fourth best left winger behind Hyman, Nugent, Hopkins, and Vogel, I don't think that's reason to keep him. I think they need to feel like he's going to push higher into the lineup and get some more significant minutes. I don't know if you're dragging Dylan Holloway around the National Hockey League on the fourth line, as opposed to having him in, you know, a functioning American League where he's playing on the top line, playing every power play, and allowing him to continue rounding out that offensive side of his game. I don't know how offensive he's going to be. I don't have the answer to that, but I wouldn't get in the way of him being able to continue to develop that by keeping him too early as a bottom six forward, you know? So I think unless they watch him and think, yep, he's going to push to play higher in the lineup than a fourth line, I don't think you should keep him as a fourth line left winger, do you?
No, I don't think so at all. Because, I mean, let's just look at the specialty teams. You know, he's going to be so far away from the power play, he may not be allowed to watch it in practice. You know what I mean? And then you know, is he able to kill penalties his first year? You know, they're going to be looking for the new guys. There's been some, like Jujar's gone, and some of these other guys are gone. But you still got Archibald, you got Nuge. You know, Leon's done it a bit, but I'm sure Derek Ryan will take some of those minutes. So, you know, you want to be able to keep them in like 8 to 10 minutes. It's not that much. You know, it's nice, but you start getting 12 to 14, you're all of a sudden your game, you're out there just a little bit more, right? Every period, that's 2-3 more shifts a period.
Yeah.
It does make a difference.
Well, and what it allows you to do is it allows you to, if you're only playing 8 minutes and you have a couple bad shifts early, now you're having a hell of a time convincing your coach and getting yourself back in that game and turning the tide, and then now you're playing a little bit more afraid to make mistakes because you're worried about your ice time and you're... You know, you'd rather have him playing 20 minutes in the American League, and on a bad night he plays, you know, on a night where he's looking like a professional rookie, then he plays 14, 15. But just rolling him out there. You know, I think the Oilers are deep enough on the left side that if Dylan Holloway needs to develop for 4 or 5 months in the American League to start the year, there should be no issue with that whatsoever. I mean, you just traded Ethan Bear to increase your depth at left wing. That means don't rush the kid. I mean, everything in me says that's what they will have it mean, and there will not be a rush. Now, if he comes in and plays in a way where they'll look stupid for sending him down, then good for him, and I'm sure they'll be pleasantly surprised, but you want this kid playing 14, 15, 16 minutes a night, I would think.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, you think about who's going to be playing with. You hope it's the next generation of some of those four players, right? Like Samorikov, Broberg, Skinner, you know, the young Russian goalie.
Yep.
Like, there's going to be some players there that it's, you know, you hope that in time, you know, 2, 3, 4, whatever number of them can come up and be an impact. So
yeah.
I think we know where he's probably going to end up, but it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah, hey, did you see the video that Tyler Benson did cheering the Elks on for their first game?
No, I didn't. So, was it good?
Well, no. I was just wishing them good luck or whatever, but I didn't recognize him. Like, I looked at the video, and I'm like, who is that? Who do they have standing in front of the camera? I went, oh, that's Tyler Benson. Boy, does he look different, you know, than he has in recent years. I don't know what that means. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate based on him standing there talking into the camera, but he looks... I don't know. He looks like a man, you know, and I wonder what kind of summer he's having. And Tyler Benson has the brains and the hands and the smarts to be an NHL player. It's just the physicality and that extra pop in his step. Wouldn't it be something for the organization if he went in and, you know, and they've been working with him and he's been working hard on finding that step, but sometimes it just takes guys a little bit of time. They just, you know, whether it's the man strength that takes a little bit to come along or whether it's something clicks in. But what a break would it be for them if all of a sudden Benson showed up and everyone was going, oh, well, first of all, he looks faster. And, yep, there's that same brain we knew he had before. That'd be massive for this team. So I'm interested to see what Tyler Benson can bring to training camp.
I worked with him out of school when he was in grade 9. And this guy, no one worked harder than him. I'm a huge fan of Tyler Benson, so I hope it works out. And I think he's very smart. And I on the wall and in front of the net, I think he could be something that the Oilers need, right? You need those guys that also just create something out of nothing, right? Doesn't have to be on the rush, but something out of nothing. So I'm rooting for him big time.
And it's another
I think
one of those
Oilers
stories.
Fans should be as well.
Yeah, and I think it's another one of those stories about development, drafting and developing, right? Not losing patience with players. And, you know, I imagine they probably could have thrown him in on a trade here or there, or they've held on to him. He's been doing what he needs to do in the American League. He's been producing. Now, if he's having the off seasons that he needs to have, it's okay if a second-round pick takes 3-4 years longer than maybe you thought was perfectly ideal, but still manages to come around and fill out some depth in your organization. I mean, it's... If you're getting a third or fourth line player in the second round, you're probably doing okay. And he still has a chance to pan out into this player if we see it. And then on another note, I mean, it'd be great to draft and develop a local kid and have a local kid that was drafted by the team playing on the team. And I've met him. You know, I did an interview with him when he was 14. I met his parents. They're wonderful people. So, yeah, you wish good things for him, and we'll see what he looks like coming into camp. But he's one of those guys grinding for that spot that Perlini and, you know, that Holloway and Shore and all those guys will be in grinding for.
100%. Shogger, thanks for this. So we'll talk to you tomorrow, big guy.
Okay, take it easy, man.